This is Meet the Millennials.
Hi guys, you're here with Cassie Loco.
Carl Loco.
Hi, I'm Rini Lee.
Hey, I'm Pastor Nathan from Hope Dealers.
And it's Pastor Kwame here from Hope Dealers as well.
Hi, I'm Ify Alexis Lee.
Hi, I'm Muyua.
And I'm Lola.
And you're listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian Millennials.
Because it's honest conversations about things that the body of Christ is perhaps too scared to talk about.
And you young people don't know what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, let's talk about this whole idea of roles, because of course the man is the provider and so forth. So if we go to scripture,
yeah,
in Ephesians 5 from verse 22, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. How do you, Lola, see, how have you grown to see submission to be? She's like, I don't
care. So are you going to tell him you used to be president of Women's Liberation Front?
Wow.
Yes. And then next. When I get annoyed because I'll be like, you're a suffragette.
Okay. You know each other.
And I'm like, oh my God. Tomboy, feminist.
I'm a lot different from where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And for me, it really is this journey with Christ. I put it down to that because I wasn't even planning on getting married. Mm. That wasn't part of my vision. So for me now to be married with two children, that was like, when did that happen? How did that happen? But for me, because of my relationship with God or with Christ, I want to do what Christ tells you. You know, what if Christ is saying submit, then I want to do that. I'm no longer at that place whereby I'm going to be arguing with God. Why should I submit? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, why was submission such a dirty word?
Well, because submission, it just meant that, you know, for me, it was like you're giving up your power, you know, to a man. And mm-hmm. he's now going to have this authority over you. He's going to rule you. And I'm like, why? No. That's not going to happen with me.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do it? Because I think a lot of women are confused about the how. Yeah.
Well, it's made easy for me because, well, it's easier for me because Muyiwa, he's not the type of man who is trying to dominate me anyway. You know, he's the type who he's working on his
what is happening in this corner.
Yes, I guess when somebody is trying to become more Christ-like themselves, it's easy for you to submit, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, because he's not out there. I now realise he's not out to dominate me or suppress me. So I can let down my barrier, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know he's got my back.
Yeah.
So I can be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, well, actually, it's a lot better now. It's mm-hmm. a lot better. But that's only because he's working on becoming more Christ-like. Therefore, it makes things easier for me. Mm-hmm. I don't see him as a threat anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
But don't forget, the Bible also says that the man should love the woman as Christ loved the church. So how do you undertake that responsibility and that role within a marriage?
Well, I think for me, first, it was understanding, and I'm still trying to understand my wife, it's understanding what love means to her, and also giving her the opportunity to understand what love means to me. Mm-hmm. Acts of service is what love means to me. I don't care if you don't buy me a present. I don't care if you don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. But I care if there's pounded yam when I'm home. You know what I mean? It makes a big difference, mm-hmm. you know? And for me, the loving my wife thing was first to know what for her was love, and words matter to Lola. That's one. Understanding also where she's coming from, where her home was a stable environment where she wasn't having to worry about, okay, no lights, what? You know, so things like, so making sure there was provision and also some emotional succor on my side. I remember there was one moment in our life where this was earlier on. I forget what triggered her, and she was crying, and she's sitting in the study on the floor. So I went to her, I'm like, why are you crying? She says, you're there for everyone, not me. And that broke my heart. So I
started to pink it.
red table so talks.
I start to cry. Because I'm like, but I'm here for you. I mean, no, you're not. You're there for everyone, solving everyone's problems. And then it just dawned on me at that point that I was so busy, Mr. Champion, fixing stuff. And I wasn't paying attention to the fact that my flesh of my flesh was in pain, let alone fixing the pain. So loving her was to stop first, to be aware of where is the pain, and then having things. We have some guiding principles in our home, which really was set up primarily for because of me, because I'm the crazy one in the house. One of them is rule number six. Mm-hmm. Rule number six is don't take yourself so seriously. You're not that important. Mm-hmm. Another one of them is give up your right to be right. Mm-hmm. And that was something I learned just in order that I might get to know, understand my wife better. Because I come from a world where from the age of nine, I'd live without my parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff that she didn't. She came from a very
Cosby,
stable
Cosby Show family.
She came from a stable middle class family. Mm-hmm. You know, I came from an upper middle class family, but I was I came from a working class.
No,
your family's middle class, man. You got a house in Ladywell Village. Anyway, your father was a civil servant. Anyway, civil servants are not working class. I was upper middle class, then thrown back into the UK, age of nine, and it was just a mess thereafter. So my headspace is constant battle. You know what I mean? I'm walking in the room and I have to read the room to know whether this is gonna be death or life. Yeah. So and I'm the one walking out of here alive. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking into the relationship with that, mm-hmm. and it's a fight all the time. Like, mm-hmm. You know. So now I have to now readdress my mind. And this is where the Holy Spirit, the Bible, comes in, mm-hmm. to allow him into my head, mm-hmm. to rearrange my head, which will help me love him. Because sometimes I'm like, what's your problem? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's fascinating. I think more men go through what Will Smith describes in that movie, more men than you'll know. Mm-hmm. Because for me, the going on the road, the hustling, bringing this, bringing that, it's for her. And before how long, my wife is saying to me, you're not doing this for me.
Yeah,
this is this house you're about, this fantastic house on this fantastic road. And she's saying it to me as I'm driving. She's like, oh, it's for you. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to buy the house for the family. No, she, it's for you, babe. And I'm feeling upset again. But this is for us, babe. And then...
What's about
to
happen?
Can I just very quickly say with the submission thing, just to give an example. We was at that recently. You was about to go into a deal. An example of submission for me is just to... I've learned to just... trust, just let him, if he let him decide on something, on a big decision, so without me having to, even though I'll still ask my questions and everything, but actually just trust that, you know, he's actually prayed about it, he's done his homework, and he hasn't gone into it, it's a well-researched and prayed over decision. So that's one example that I would
But that trust didn't really come, it wasn't like you have to trust me. It was trust that was won over time. There's a track record. I think in our home there's a track record of okay, this delivered. This he dropped the ball, but he was honest about it. This he delivered. So you have to, as a man, you have to win the trust. Mm-hmm. And a man who's not winning your trust, mm-hmm. even before you go into the relationship, you have to stop and say, hold on. Because if I'm not worth enough for you to win my trust, once you have me, lock and chain.
Millennials, let's talk about comparison. Because I feel like that's a big thing for us, because we have social media to tell us whether we're doing our marriage right or we're not. What has the reality of comparison been like for you?
You know what? I would say comparison probably gets everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, it's another idea being pushed in your direction, an idea that maybe where you're at is not sufficient, mm-hmm. or it could be better, or you're doing it wrong, or that way is right. You know, I feel like it did, maybe she won't mind me saying that, yeah, is that I think maybe the comparison kind of affected Cass a lot more, you know. And I would feel that if it affects her, then it's affecting us, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, if she feels that way, then, you know,
yeah.
I would say that for me personally, I'm a bit of a logician.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of it, I kind of know, I've had maybe harsher lessons because I've met my heroes that are alive, okay. you know? And I know that the heroes that you meet, they're different to when you meet the person, you know? So I know there's a clean distinction, you know? Mm-hmm. So I never put anyone at their bio. Like, I know that's just the bio.
Yeah.
You know, I know if you know every part of them, you wouldn't support them, you wouldn't hail them, and that's just life.
True.
Everyone leads with their best foot forward. Yeah. So I'm not under any delusions about that. Mm-hmm. I am very sober. There's nothing you can really pitch to me that's going to convert me to make me think, all right, where you're at, that's mm-hmm. the... I know it's an angle, I know it's lighting, you know, I know it's a snapshot, you know? Yeah. So I would say... Yeah, it does affect, but at the same time, kind of doesn't.
I think in the before our wedding, the compare, like, I'd see things and I'd think, oh, but they do this, but they do that, and then Carl would always kind of be like, you don't know what's going on. He'd kind of tell me, you don't know what's going on in people's house. What you see is not always what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that to me a lot, and I'd kind of be like, but I think, I don't know. I feel like the Disney movies really ruined my version. So I'd see, like, I'd really think I had a really naive view of what relationship was. I was like, we're having an argument, like, I don't know. I just thought that, and because my mum and dad broke up when I was young, and I thought that was a bad relationship in my head, it was like, that wasn't a good relationship, that's why they broke up, because they argued. I thought, like, anyone that argued, that's like, I just had a really naive view on a relationship. So at first, that's how I was, and then Carl kind of would speak to me, my pastor would speak to me, and I realised, okay, every household has their own issues and different mm-hmm. situations. But then when we got married and everything that happened, and then we became couple goals and relationship goals, that's when I was like, okay, yeah, this is really fickle, because mm-hmm. people will see a picture, and from a picture think they know your whole life, everything that's happened. From a video on YouTube, be like, oh my god, you know their relationship, and I'm just like, you are not in it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I kind of struggled with that at first. I was always wanting to show people that we're not perfect, we're normal, we're human. And Carl would be like, you're gonna, just don't worry, that's just human beings. Stop, like, I'm always wanting to show people, yeah, this is the reality of it, or, you know, we do have arguments. And it was just like, after a while, I've just given up. I'm like, all right, whatever you guys think, but
just be,
yeah, mm-hmm. that, so I've come to realize, like, yeah, the comparison, you know,
the whole comparison thing, it's, I mean, social media may have amplified it for us, but it's always been there.
Yeah.
My sister is going to be 56.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, when she was younger, had newspaper cutouts of Princess Margaret and the things Princess Margaret will do when she was live, and how she'll be, as a way of this is the things she aspired to,
mm-hmm.
without knowing who the heck Princess Margaret was or the struggles she has. So I think for our generation, and Lola and I talk about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
because even though you talk about millennials, actually for everyone it's the same. Because so here I'm in a home, my wife is an actress,
mm-hmm.
she's a fiercely independent woman. I mean, she's a personal trainer on the side. So she has her own thing she can do, but she's decided, okay, I'm gonna give that up. I mean, from when
that's
I go
submission.
Yes.
My first son is gonna be 11, and from when she got pregnant with Lonnie, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't been working. So mm-hmm. she's given up that chunk of her life. Now, she's gone through all that, and naturally there are moments where she looks and she thinks, have I wasted my life. Mm. I mean, we have these conversations all the time. I mean, it's much better now. And it's not just her. There are people who I know who are huge personalities in this country, mm-hmm. who we look at and think, oh my God, great successes. There's one in particular I have in mind where his wife, he's in the history of church, missiology, whatever it is you want to, in terms of culture, he has murked it, as you young people would say. Now, his wife is a big part of that.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, and I remember talking to him and her, she had a crisis where she says, I've wasted my life. Mm. Now, her sons are great men. I mean, successful in, one is successful in banking, then went into ministry. I mean, these are, and she was the one who guided them through that. Mm-hmm. Yet, because of the pressures of the external, the comparison. Mm. Now, she is near 60. Mm-hmm. So the same pressures that the 20-year-olds face is, so Lola, for example, occasion will be like, man, I see. I mean, Lola did the first ever DVD, exercise DVD to gospel music in this country.
Wow.
And just moved on with that. But Lola would look, and I could tell her, I could itemize her successes, but she'll be looking on Instagram and she sees someone and she says, man, this person, their mother, they're doing business, they're doing this, and she'd be like, what's wrong with me? And then she'll come to herself. So she'll question herself. Mm-hmm. Now this is a woman who's independent, mm-hmm. she's strong, she's clear-minded, but then still she'll question herself, and then she'll come to herself that, no, I can't do everything. Yeah. Then we'll have a conversation, mm-hmm. to try and reinforce that. But it's gonna happen, and it's not often you'll get someone like Carl, mm-hmm. who'll be able to say, babe, that's don't listen to the noise. Mm-hmm. There are some people, I mean, I know people who, there's a wedding that Carl went to recently, mm-hmm. which is two of my babies got married. Mm-hmm. The wife used to go to school around the corner. I've known her from when she was baby, and then she went on to sing with me and went on to be my PA, mm-hmm. and she got married. The husband, mm-hmm. I've known him from when she was young. Then he goes into, you know, making TV, and now he's a big dog. And mm-hmm. they're at this wedding, and they're doing, and it's your fault, Carl, you and your friends, they're doing all these all these dances, choreographed dances, everyone's looking perfect. And I know people who have, and these are not children, who have said, that's what my, and the women, that's what my wedding has to look like. Mm. But they do not know the not even the production of the wedding, the emotional trauma that the couple have been through in the last year.
Yeah.
All they're looking at is Carl and Michael Dapper and Cole dancing on Instagram. So for someone who hasn't been in it, you would hope that you would have a man or woman who can be circumspect. But actually, one, before you get there, you have to be listening to see, how's this person reacting to these things?
Yeah.
And two, you have to know that when you get there, if they're not the type to stop and say, nah, this is not reality, to be wise enough to know that we've got some work to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not like that, we're heading towards disaster. And do we go over that cliff, or do we stop and say, okay, actually, this way that you're at, mm-hmm. that you're like, it's not reality. Something's behind it. So how do we, again, open up that wound to get to understand you, mm-hmm. and understand your headspace, and you understand me, so that our union can be strong, or else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's one more area that we must cover. Intimacy. So, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. 1 Corinthians 7:4. Discuss.
And is that statement actually, this is the first time I've actually thought, is that statement mm-hmm. purely talking about the sexual connotations? Mm-hmm. I don't even, just good hearing question. Just now, I don't think it is. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's
if
not.
If we're talking about sex, then yeah. you could talk about sex. That's I don't know.
What, is that what you want us to talk about?
Let's talk about sex, guys.
That is
intimacy very straightforward. Straightforward?
Is it straightforward?
No.
No.
It's not the movies.
Oh, the distress.
No, not in like a funny way or you know, it's just not. You have to learn your partner.
Yeah.
The movies show it as it's just gonna be. You have to learn what your partner likes. You have to. You just have to learn. I wasn't sexually active. Carl was very, very.
All right.
Sexually active. So you have to just. It's something that. Another thing that you have to build on and learn each other, and it's just not as simple as A and B as people think. So
agreed, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. As Cass is saying, our backgrounds were very different. Mm-hmm. You know, Cass lost her virginity with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had my virginity taken from me when I was like young. You know, mm-hmm. so like for me, I had sex before I kissed a girl.
Wow.
You know, I had like maybe. God knows, since she said very, very, you can use your imagination. That my situation in my community, the only ones that kind of had more clout than us was Premiership football players.
Okay.
If you didn't play Premiership, mm-hmm. you didn't have more clout.
Okay.
So then clout kind of helps for chasing tail.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, like just coming from that sort of way, mm-hmm. you know, the men in my house have always kind of been that way inclined, you know, so it was a kind of mess. And I kind of thought that, you know, instantly there must be fountains and fireworks.
Backflips.
Just because I'm here, I'm presenting myself, you know, it must be that it must work instantly, you know? And it took me a long time to actually, it took my pride a long time, and my ego, it took it even longer to realise that it's not automatic,
mm-hmm.
you know, so obviously, yeah, it is,
and
definitely.
And we like, that stuff starts in our minds, so it's to do with like Carl would understand like something simple, like if I said to him, can you go to, I don't know, I asked him to do something for me and he didn't do it, he didn't understand why that had anything to do with later on in the bedroom tonight, where it had everything to do with it. True. So it's just like learning it, yeah, that whole time was very to learn, is that we was too different, that we liked different things, and yeah
it's interesting.
It was interesting.
You have to learn what the other person likes. So I'll have to guide Muiwa, and he'll have to guide me into, you know, to have that conversation about sex.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a virgin when I got married, and if you're a virgin out there, and if you're about to get married, it hurts mm-hmm. first time. You know, it really is not like the movies.
No.
You know, we didn't even do it on the wedding night. We were so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, in my head, I just wanted to get it over and done with.
Yeah.
It didn't happen the first night, nor the second. It was the third night.
Rough.
And it was honest, and it was not romantic. Mm-hmm. It was just... No, sorry, dude. The physical act of it, whereby for me, in my head, I was like, okay, I've been told it's going to hurt. Let's just get this part over with. And then let's get on with the journey of enjoying it, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
But I think, as Cass said, you really have to guide one another. And I mean, at our church, we have couples conference every February. We've never been to it. Well, we haven't been to it yet, but I'm told that it's very good, and they talk about things like sex and all that, and I think it's very good, especially if you're a young couple, you're about mm-hmm. to get married, to if you are in a good church whereby they have marriage conferences and they are open about sex and all that, it's good to have that conversation.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be a taboo subject.
No.
And you really, as I said, you should learn what your partner likes, what, and just learn about each other, and it's not, it shouldn't be one-sided, it should not be just about the man getting yeah. satisfaction.
Yeah.
The man should take it upon himself to learn what his wife likes, mm-hmm. and he should let her, you know, give her satisfaction. It should be both ways.
Yeah.
So when we got married, and again, this goes back to trying to know who it is that you're running with. And you'll see signs a lot already. So for me, I mean, I like sex. I mean, and I remember saying that to my pastor, the poor guy almost passed out. What's the problem? but I wasn't the type who, you know, it has to happen now, or, you know. So when we got married, you know, the first night we were knackered with, you know, three days. But when it did happen, my girl was so traumatized, I don't think we went near the subject for another two and a half, 3 weeks or something.
Whoa.
Like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was because I understood that. And I was like, okay, let's just back off. Now, some of the issues is that the biography you have. So if you're someone who's been very active as a girl, or even if you haven't been active with someone, if you've been exposed to imagery like pornography, your neural association with what's sexually exciting is some guy with a big willy that's swinging to his knees.
He has made his own decision today, okay?
But
we're gonna have to be like explicit. We're gonna have to put the E on the end of this episode.
so that when you do get married, mm-hmm. you're now measuring the guy. Oh, it's not 12 inches. We have a problem. Well, you know, it could be 12 inches and it don't function, you know. So that there's one. And then on the other side, there's the male side of it, where you have in your mind this image. And then there's the Hollywood thing. So those are things you have to be aware of. And then there are other questions that you have to really deal with. So oral sex, is that a thing? And if it is, what's her position about oral sex, or mm-hmm. what's your position? You know, is it something? And it's, and I know my position is in church, maybe not the best place to deal with it because the scriptures are silent on it. Mm-hmm. But certainly as a couple, you should have that conversation, mm-hmm. Because it could be that your partner's coming from a place where it's part of what they think is good practice, mm-hmm. you know. And then there's the whole physiological side of it, of the cycles of the woman, and you know, when is a good time, when the chemicals in the body changing, and you know, how's that changing things upstairs and downstairs, and you know, and so all that you have to address, because it makes a difference.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
sorry, and I think as well, one thing with churches, sometimes they don't talk about it a lot, mm-hmm. and it's something that is not spoken about in, like, you know, the just before marriage, and I feel like that can be really bad to a relationship if you're not speaking, especially because most of the time it's like preached on that, you know, sex is bad, sex is bad, out of marriage, sex is bad. So in your head, sex is bad, sex is bad. So then when mm-hmm. you're allowed to do it, it's like, I'm allowed. So it's like you have to, I feel like that conversation needs to be had 100%. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the difference, like what do you like, what is going to be acceptable, some people don't like oral sex, some people do, like those mm-hmm. conversations have to be had, because yeah. otherwise you're gonna yeah. find yourself in
and,
a
and are you also as well, you have to, yeah, the conversation has to be continuous as well, because the bodies are changing.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
As you said, there are seasons in mm-hmm. Or cycles in a woman's life, and probably in men's as well, that you may not, well, I don't know if you, maybe you guys do have cycles, you know what I mean, but
educate us.
Those cycles, you know, recycle.
There might be times when the man might not want to, I don't know, be intimate, not because he's not attracted to you or whatever, but yeah. maybe he's tired, blah blah blah, and you need to understand that. And
understand is a thing that we're saying again and again, and that requires conversation, requires mm-hmm. listening, because it's not, there's a loud thought being communicated when you as a man, you're ready for something, and then she's like, nah, I'm going to work, and then you go off upset, and she goes off upset. And that someone is saying something, it's just, are we willing to get past oh, I'm upset, and you know, she won't give me any. And then the other thing is to bear in mind when that happens, if you know that your wife is the type that loves to have sexual intercourse, or your husband is the type that is very, you know, ever ready battery. And then you make choices to deny them because of a valid reason you feel you have. Mm-hmm. The question is, where are they going? Because you know this brother has a high sex drive already. Don't kid yourself by thinking, yeah, whatever is gonna, because whilst you're justifying yourself and you're pleasing yourself to know, I'm teaching him a lesson. Mm-hmm. Well, he's finding that release somewhere else. Mm-hmm. She's finding that release somewhere else. And it might just be Brother Tom in the office. No. Now here's the thing. I'm not suggesting that she's sleeping with Brother Tom.
Oh, okay.
But she goes in the office and Brother Tom is where she finds emotional sucker. And so all of a sudden we're having an emotional relationship there.
100%.
Which is true. Which one is worse?
Yeah.
That he's in my head giving me pleasure. Or that my body's on the table with him in the kitchen.
Yeah. Got you.
You know, so those things you have to be honest with yourself about, or else you just be kidding yourself. True. I'm not gonna give him none, and he's getting something with Sister Sadie.
Wow. So does that mean that then within a marriage context, then even when you don't necessarily feel like it, then that you should still.
It's not even marriage, but in life context.
You know, like, you don't always feel. I didn't realize that. I had to have really serious conversations with my pastor to understand, because I'm a sort of person that goes by, I used to go by how I felt in life. Mm. So, like, I don't feel happy today. I'm not going to. Yeah, I was so much led by my emotions. So, I had to deal with that with God first, as in an emotional sense. Mm. Then to understand that in a relationship, in terms of, you're not always, I didn't know that. I thought it's when I felt like having sex, that's when I would have it. And my pastor would be like, no, that's not, like, I'm so grateful for her. She literally sat me down when I said, no, that's not how it works. You might not feel like it, but sometimes that's just how, that's how it is. You might not always feel like doing something, but there's things to get yourself, get your mind, and all those sorts of things. So, it's not always going to be how you feel.
Let's round this up then.
Because forgive me. The other thing is to and I don't want to make it sound so mechanical, but you have to use, God gave us a brain. That's why, for some reason. So if you don't feel like it, you have to be awake enough to know, okay, so I don't feel like it, but we need to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what does she like? Okay, she likes this way. Okay, I'm going to make sure I do it this way and get her there.
Quickly,
in good time. Bam!
That's extremely calculated.
It has to be with knowledge.
Yes.
You can't just, oh, I don't feel like it. Oh God, oh God, she's not there yet. Oh God, when are we going to? Oh God,
I hope this is live. No, but I'm telling you, this is what I want.
It's
real.
It's true.
It's the truth.
It's real. It's real.
I appreciate the realness.
I could go on and
yes, you could.
Never been told.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I'm sorry. Can I just say, if you, like, as a man, if you do have a very high sex drive, you have to learn to be disciplined as well within marriage.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, there are times whereby, like, say, for example, when your statistics show that some men or men are more likely to, the time that they're going to have an affair would be when their wife is either pregnant, she's had a baby, blah, blah, blah. If you're a man of Christ, you know, you're following God and all, you have to learn to be disciplined with your sexuality.
True.
Just because you're married doesn't mean you can have it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be considerate about your wife, what she's going through, if she's nursing a baby. You know, first 6 weeks of having a baby, we didn't have intercourse because you're still sore all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some women, it may take a bit longer.
First 6 weeks.
And the husband has to...
Much longer than that.
And the husband has to be self-disciplined, you know, be disciplined, and also be understanding that, you know, your wife's body is not ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that. So it's not, marriage doesn't mean you can now be a man. You can now be having sex with your wife every 2 seconds.
There's so much we can't cover it in this, but
we're not objects.
So there's
that's right.
There we there's the physiological side of it, there's a psychological side of it, mm-hmm. there's definitely the spiritual side of it, where me as a man, my desires is that really is that fueled by the spirit, and I don't want to say, you know, me wanting to have sex is fueled by the spirit, but my desire to have that intercourse, is that just a lustful appetite mm-hmm. that I'm having because I've opened up my mind to something else that's making me feel, so I think, oh, if I could just do it with my wife, it's cool. No, actually, I've opened up my mind to something that's untowards, which is fueling this appetite, you know. And so those are some of the things you have to deal with. So walking with God mm-hmm. and being honest with yourself, because he knows you before you got there.
True.
He knows that, you know, he knows you before you got there. So mm-hmm. don't kill yourself and say, oh my God, I've sinned again. But be honest with yourself, because it's not just being honest with God, because he already knows. That's to it. Say, listen, God, I've opened up myself to this. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like this. And I can see that if we don't curb this, we'll end up in a car crash, which might end up in a divorce. Mm-hmm. So Holy Spirit, help me. And I guarantee you 100% of the time he will. Because it's either someone will call you, or you see some post on Instagram, or you see some Bible. The Holy Spirit works.
It's true.
You know.
It's true.
And just to kind of talk about just the actual real life, everyday reality of marriage then. So like, I have a bit of a Disney image of marriage. I'm still trying, the Holy Spirit needs to break. But like, does being in love last forever? Like, what should your perception of love sort of be like within a real life marriage? Because obviously it's not like Hollywood.
Mm. I love Cass more than I did at the beginning. Now,
yes, beautiful. Man. How you mean?
Come on!
It's grown.
It grows. And sometimes I think, can it grow anymore? And then it grows more. Mm-hmm. Even when I have had my son, it's like I fell in love with Carl even more to see him as a dad. So I feel like love, it grows and grows and grows and grows. You might not always like each other, but... You should always love each other.
Yeah, I think for us, till death us do part.
Mm-hmm. It's a commitment we've made, and it's when he goes, I might consider marrying again. Until then,
no, we have this joke in our house. I say she's gonna die first, and I'm gonna marry myself.
That statistics show
a blonde Russian babe who's a boob job. And then she says she's gonna come and haunt me. I'm gonna die on the first night, have a heart attack while I'm trying to do something.
I'm here for it.
Statistics show that women live longer than men, so you are gonna go first.
But I think it grows. I think it grows because of a decision you make. Much of the time we're talking about feelings, but it's whether you the decision you make. You know, if we're going to be theological about it, for the joy set before him. Speaking of Jesus, he endured and going through the pain. So for the joy set before him, he decided what he was willing to go through. And for us as married folk, it's not just all the feelings, because now we're in it. We've seen the reality of it. But we've made a choice. And part of that choice is through the good, through the bad. I'm not just going to put up with bad. I'm going to work through it. And I'm going to acknowledge when good is happening so that it builds up. Because let me tell you, one of the moments where my love went through the roof was watching Lola having the children. And I'm watching, I'm watching people taking turns, my wife just going fishing for gold. You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this woman has just put herself in danger for me. And then afterwards, the poor thing, she after our first son, people were coming to her room giving her CDs that I should sign.
Oh,
you know,
mate.
And it's just, I'm just going through all that, and I'm like, man, I'm so grateful that God blessed me with a woman who wasn't a troublesome woman.
Yeah.
A woman who was willing to accept my crazy and still was willing to go through this for me, not once, not twice.
It's God. Honestly, it really is. The Christ is real, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole God thing is real because, as I said, I hadn't planned on getting married, let alone have two human beings come out of my body. So it really is the Christ working. You know, you work in partnership with Christ. You want to, you know, you work in partnership with Christ. You want to change. Christ will change you. You know, you want to do the right thing. Christ will help you do the right thing.
That's true.
And as Moya said,
the joy set before.
Mm-hmm. So it's not. You're looking beyond this world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not just this temporary moment. You're looking. So it's you can still have your Cosby Show marriage.
Yeah. It's work. It's work. Just know that it's work. It's
yeah.
It's not just. It's not just all smiles. But it's something that's worth it. I don't know any woman that I want to live with. Like, look, well, I don't know any woman who put up with what she put up with me. You know, but she's a godsend, and my love for her means that even when I'm dead, I want to make sure that she's good, that there's no trauma. And I've said to her, after 6 months, go shopping. You know what I mean? Just, you know, but my love for her is such to make
just
sure.
Six.
Sorry?
Just 6 months.
I'm gone, man. I'm in heaven, man.
Claim it.
Just
hallelujah.
Use the insurance money. my love for her is such that I want to make sure that she's fine now and she's fine when I die, if I die before her.
Yeah.
And those are decisions. Are you trying to kill me?
What's your every African man's mentality. Write a will. Are you trying to kill me?
But it's knowing that, and I think we've established that Hollywood was just painting a picture for us to buy tickets. And we bought the tickets, but now don't take the lie that they've sold. So you know it's going to be work. It's going to mean, because we're all broken. You're broken. Absolutely. The man you're going to marry is broken.
Absolutely.
So why should he be perfect and you remain broken? So here we have the opportunity to just keep allowing God to fix us and knowing I've made a decision to do this, and good, bad, till death do us part.
Yeah. Please, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Can I just, I guess for young people out there who are thinking about marriage, and speaking from a woman's point of view, don't go into marriage thinking that your husband is going to make you totally happy. You know, he's not.
Agreed.
He won't
Come
make
on.
You. You are responsible for your own happiness.
Absolutely.
You really are.
Absolutely.
You know, yes, your husband will bring some things that make you happy sometimes. Whatever.
Yeah.
However, that job is your responsibility.
Here, here.
So, and yeah, don't look to him to fix everything in your life.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that I don't always tell Muyiwa because he can't do anything about it.
What? I'm shocked. Counselor.
No, because you know it's nothing he can't, in his capacity as a, you know, he can't do anything. Some things you just have to take straight to God. And there are some things that only God, you know, it's, yeah, some things you yearn for or you need, and it's only God that has that
really
thing that you need.
Agreed.
So rather than to be arguing, you need to make me happy, no.
Yeah.
Make yourself happy.
100%.
And he also will, you know, it's great when if he does something that makes you happy, but don't expect, that's just too much pressure on a person.
Yeah.
And it's just that a human being cannot do that. You
Agreed.
Know, we can't meet all of our needs.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you know, you say that, but when I see Carl and Cass on Instagram, I mean, they're at the royal wedding looking in each other's eyes, and I'm like, but they're happy all the time.
All the time, baby.
Trouble
maker. No days off.
15 years in now, looking back, your first year of marriage, was that the hardest? Is it true that the first year of marriage is the hardest?
For us, well, first 6 months, I mean, I divorced this guy so many times.
In your head.
6 months, honestly. I divorced him so many times in the first 6 months because, as I said, I was coming from that whole feminist thing, no man's going to rule me, blah, blah, blah. And we were just, not even loads of arguments, but just things that he would just irritate me, things that he was doing, and that whole adjusting. It was a whole adjusting
to
things.
We've never done arguments like, what are you doing? Where is it? Shouting. We don't do that. It gets very silent, which is yeah. just as bad.
I guess, but, for me, it was just, I just always felt like he was trying to take over, you know, just take over my life, you know, dominate me. And that was where that was where the divorce kept coming in. No man's going to rule me. No man, I'm going to do my own things. That was more...
So the truth is, the first six months were I don't know whether they were the most difficult. It depends on how you define difficult. But those were challenging times because two waters were coming together. Two histories were colliding. For us, it was definitely a real challenge. I remember telling my wife that, oh, in my mind, I killed you like four or five times. And I moved on and married someone else. I got rid of the body.
And
to my shock, my wife said to me, I divorced you like 2,000 times. Yeah. I was like, hey, how do you see that
which
one?
Which one is worse?
I divorced Carl in engagement. Oh, yeah. He divorced an engagement about 30.
She threw I was a cleaner then.
Yeah.
Sweating to make £108 every 2 weeks.
Jeez.
And then by the grace of God, I was able to get a ring that because she wanted like... She was looking on Tiffany websites and all the rest of it. So literally on that, I had to step up the game and got this ring. She threw it at me.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe even like day three of the ring. I think she threw the ring at me. Yeah. The metal went clang. I heard it on the table.
We went through...
You weren't afraid. This is bad man, you know.
Listen, the girl, can I be honest? She had a death wish. So the police, not genuine. The police would come and literally. Me and Cass would be kicking off.
People think like, that's what I'm saying. Every time people see the wedding and they see everything that happened, I'm always like, he was an ex gang member, and I was my mother's child. I was very much defiant, and he would like be shouting at me down the road. Police would come, they'd be hit. That we would to get to where we are now.
Jesus.
It took so much. It took so prayer. It took like God really into. Like, that's why I said when people said when I said about how we found out.
Yeah.
Whether we were supposed to be together, it was that deep because God knew what we was going to go through. The different scenarios, situations that we had to know that, okay, we're going to argue like, but if this is what it is. Yeah. So to get even that now sitting and just having a conversation and just looking back at the journey, I'm like, God is...
Listen, you know, you have to make up in your mind or be clear in your mind, you're going to come into some conflict, some real hard conflict, because Carl was a gang man. You might say, oh, that's understandable. We was a worship leader.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, in those first 6 months, my wife will tell you, there was one moment we'd been to
shopping.
We'd just come back from Boston. We went skiing. We stayed with a friend of mine who my wife found that the interaction between the husband and the wife was unacceptable. Because she thought that the husband was just the way he treated his wife was not right. So she's talking to me all the time, how dare he, and I'm telling her, bedroom babe, that's their house. Leave it. Oh no, she's the president of Women's Liberation Front. This is me saying it. She's not gonna have it. So all that, she's building that up in her mind. So when we get home,
she's like, yeah, I'm not laying
down. She's coming like, so we go shopping and I see something present whilst we're going up the stairs. And I'm like, who is this woman? And as God is my witness, in my mind, I had put down the bag, I'd rushed up the stairs, and I knocked her down.
Yeah, she fell.
And you know what? I don't condone domestic violence.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling you that even as a worship leader, I was Riversongs. We were playing festivals in the name of Jesus, and I had Christ inside of me. But he was helping me to see that there was still some of Satan inside of me. I was ready to, because she was rude. I'm like, who are you talking to? So at that point, and I think she saw it.
Yeah.
She saw it in my eyes, so she started walking backwards.
Oh wow.
And I just thought, now no words were exchanged.
Yeah.
This was just all non-verbal.
Look at that.
And I just said to myself, I need to leave this environment or else I'm going to do something that's unchristian and will get me. Because I'd made it. I mean, a lot of men will do that. You play in your mind what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And especially if you come in from a certain place, you play it and then you do it. So it's premeditated. And so I put down the bags. I jumped into my MGB Roadster. I remember it. My favorite car, 1970s. I drove to where we're at now.
Wow.
I sat where you are, Esther, Premier Radio, and I just worked for like 5 hours straight just to get it out of my system. Mm. So the moral of the story is you get into it, whether he's a pope, pastor, preacher, gangman, you're walking into conflict.
Yeah. Mm.
The idea is once you walk into conflict, remember he's not just evil. He's coming broken just like you.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to resolve the conflict.
I have a last one because I like cute moments. So I want to ask you guys, on the days when it's not easy, how do you know you haven't married the wrong person and how do you keep choosing your partner?
I feel like our wedding helped in huge way. You know, the actual day.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I was like, my, this is mortgages. Like, these are mortgages. Like, why are we doing this? This doesn't really make much sense, you know? And I kind of thought that, we could just keep it traditional and ceremony, like, you know, save the money, go on a holiday. I didn't really understand it. That was purely for my wife, you know? And on the actual day, we ended up, like... I always say it, I fell in love with Cass like 3 times over.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. There was this one period where they actually took a photo of, that's the first photo I actually posted on the, it was when I was just looking at her, it was our first dance.
Mm.
And I actually, during looking at her, I realised, I said, my days, I thought the wedding planner had messed things up or something had happened with the sound because everything, the music stopped. And I was like, Cass, Limonette, there's no music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, while we're dancing, I'm like, I can't hear anything. And this was like, I don't know what you said to me back, but did you say?
I don't remember.
He said something about, and I was just like, there's no. And then I realized that after we had finished dancing, that the music had carried on playing. Mm-hmm. Like, they had not stopped. I just couldn't see or hear anything except for Cass.
Maka,
and then literally, like, it was crazy.
Because we had gone through so much from one passing, and so much stress.
Yeah.
And even before the wedding day, we was like, it was just, I wasn't the same person at that point because I had gone through so much. I was broken. I'd spoken about. I was in depression. So it was like going into the wedding, that whole moment and that whole day, it's like God reaffirmed that this is why I put you two together.
Yeah.
So as we was. Like everyone was like, you see, you're watching the wedding video. So much happened in that moment that reminded us, okay, this is why
the song that we even used to pray to constantly
for my mum,
for because her mum lived with us
because her mum passed from cancer,
stage 4 bowel cancer, but she was living with us. And the song that we would listen to every day and connect our faith to it was the song that we actually danced to.
You know,
so it was just a full
moment.
It was heavy.
Sovereign God.
Yeah.
Bye.
Morette Brown.
Morette
Clark Brown. Yeah. It was just full circle. So I think that day, and there's been other days as well. And to be honest, I don't say it enough, but Cass makes it kind of easy. Cass is Cass, you know. So even though there's a lot of stuff that God knows, I would pay every bit of money to change, and I would climb every mountain they have. I just got off a mountain, I would climb it again, honestly, to literally change aspects of her. Cass does make it kind of like, I like being with Cass, you know. So I kind of get, she reminds me of little bits every day. You know, I'll see a bit of the, this is why, you know, and then I see the devil as well. But then, obviously, the light comes through.
Vice versa. Yeah.
Cass, did you want to say something?
Just everything. Just like, just the way we got together in the first place and the fact of what, like, I'd said to God, I need to know this man is for me because I know how I am and I know how... yeah, I just know how I am. So the fact of how we found out, every time we get into something, I'm like, God showed me that this is the person for you. Mm-hmm. And just the fact of how much he's even changed and how he's built our family. Mm-hmm. So even on the worst days, it's like, I can't forget that. I can't mm-hmm. forget that how far he's come. I can't forget how much he's done for us. And and then people remind me every day of my wedding. Mm-hmm. When he's getting on my last nerves, we'll be in Croydon and someone will be like, can I take a picture? Mm-hmm. I'm just like, and then I remember, he's the guy I married and why I married him and how much I love him. We're like on a site, like, oh, your wedding, you don't know what your wedding means to me. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, so it's just like that constant reminder of why we did it. I feel like it happens every day.
And Lion helps a lot. Oh, Lion. Lion's, and it helps that he looks like both of us.
He really does.
So that, like, it just really kind of, like, if she really annoys me and I don't like her face, I can like her face through him.
Yeah. And it's like, with arguments, like, you can't give up an argument when I'm gonna ask him to bath. That's like, can you bath? It's like, yeah, it's just silly. Yeah. You pick your battles.
Yeah. Uncle and auntie, same question. Shall I repeat the question?
So no. So my wife is taking Lion off his parents, mm-hmm. and in my head I'm thinking, nah, look.
Oh, she getting
We're not going there again.
You need a daughter.
Yeah, I didn't plan on having children. So my two boys there, the decision was made there, mm-hmm. not there. Mm-hmm.
There are many moments. And I think because of the kind of person I am, what means a lot to me, hips and fingertips, they only mean, they don't, as a matter of fact, they don't mean, maybe when I was 16, and you know, I think between a certain age, I walked around with a permanent erection, you know, because those things, well, just the reality is those things may have meant something to me then, but now it's, you know,
you guys sure got something.
We really got a lot.
You know, what means a lot to me is I look at Lola and I see a woman who's, I mean, she loves Jesus. Mm. Yeah, she loves Jesus, and she loves me so much that she gave up. I mean, she gave up her career. Mm. I mean, thank God she's going back into it now. Mm. But she gave up a whole chunk of that just so I can do what I do. I watch her with the boys. Even though I think they run rings around her, you know, she's there. And people ask me, oh, Mui, where you do radio, you do TV, you do concerts. And if it wasn't for her, I mean, being the first UK gospel group to sell out O2 or whatever it is, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have done it, because the money we used for that was the money I made from the tour in the States. And she agreed that I can spend on that instead of buying curtains or reducing the mortgage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hammersmith Apollo, the only UK gospel artist to sell at Hammersmith Apollo, 5,000 people, it cost me 83 grand. Mm-hmm. If she wasn't for her, that wouldn't have been possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, she told me the house we were in, she didn't like the house. Mm-hmm. She didn't have the car she wanted, yet I spent all that money on. And so the moment I think about those things and think, these things people count as accolade. Mm. For me, if it wasn't for Sister Lola, I wouldn't have even had the opportunity to do it. The TV show, they say 70 million people watch it. Over 3 million people gave their lives to Christ, 2015, 2016. The reality is, before it even became an issue, Lola had already said to me, she says, I see you doing TV in America. Wow. If it wasn't for her agreeing to it,
yeah,
where am I going?
Mm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can say I'm a man. I'm gonna go. You will come back. You know, so some of those things are reasons why I think, man, God has been so kind to me, because if I had married the person I wanted to marry, I know where the chick is now. Mm. Yeah, I know where she is now. Which gospel do I want to preach? With what mouth? Mm-hmm. It would be pandemonium. Mm. You know, so some of those things I reflect and I think, Chai, if it not been for the Lord who was on our side.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, and I'm so Amen. Grateful. And then, you know, when she gets me at night, ooh, she rocks my world.
He loves it. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lola, grace us with the conclusion. What's your point on this?
Dear. I think, like Cass said, how our relationship started, I really do think it was a God thing. God chose him for me.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, it's even on bad day, and he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man. You know, he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. So I would be, it'd be like telling God, take back your, you know, it was a God decision.
Yeah.
God, it would be like saying, God, you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a, yeah. I'm just grateful that, you know, God is. And then you think of other people's circumstance or other people's relationship. You think, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. You know, he's a good man. Mm-hmm. And he's a godly man. Mm-hmm. That's what, for me, he's a godly man. And he's working on becoming more like Christ every day. So that, I'll be foolish to now say that I want a divorce or whatever. What am I looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. He's my original Adam before the fall. Yeah.
It's all good. Beautiful. Yeah. Esther, I'm sure you would agree that this has actually been one of the best episodes ever, right?
Yes, definitely.
This it's is, up this there. Is a it hour, could be
two,
the best.
2 hour special.
Cass, I don't know how you're going to do it, but hit us with the conclusion.
It's so funny because sitting here I feel like I'm seeing Carl and Cass in the future.
Mm.
and it's beautiful as well to hear and I've learned so much just even from, and I'm sure everyone that is watching everyone that's listening has also learned so much. And just I think out of everything that I've got from it, and I think put God first.
Mm-hmm.
Put God first in your relationship, and once you honor God in your relationship, God will allow everything else to fall into place. And I'll end it by saying, just be very, be prayerful when you're going into the fact of marriage. It's not so simple, it's not a fairy tale, but in the end it can be your fairy tale.
Yeah.
So I'll end it.
Amen. Amen. We always round off, oh yeah, let's clap to that. We always round off with scripture. So I'll repeat Ephesians 5:22-25. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Locos, what should we look forward to on your platforms?
She's the director.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, just more. Just, do you know what it is? I'm realizing that you, like, you were talking about earlier, you can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. I am a mum and I'm enjoying being a mum. And I think I'm just going to capture that. I'm capturing being a mum and, yeah, and our relationship and how it's flourishing and stuff like that. And then Carl, he's doing so much at the moment. So what are we looking forward to
to continue kind of trying to break the status quo, do the stain, bringing the real back, you know, I'm gonna be doing more adventures,
mm-hmm.
so climbing more stuff, but I'm gonna also be doing it as a separate entity, as I've been doing it with the Bransons annually. I'm gonna do it on my own as well. And
Getting my producer on.
Oh yeah, she's getting her producer on. We're fantastic. Doing some television.
Oh,
you know, so it's all going off. So man.
Amazing. Grateful. Amazing. Share your handles with us, please.
Instagram CassieX1X and YouTube Locked In. LOKKEDIN. Lion's got his own Instagram too.
Aww. Anna, you famous.
And we spell Lion LYAN LOKKO. That's
and your
his.
One?
I'm at KARL _ LOKKO.
Okay.
Yeah, local.
Amazing. Moiwa and Lola, the stage is yours. What should we look forward to on your platforms?
So for us, it's slightly different because all you see on my platform is ever work. Occasionally, you might see my family because that was a decision we made earlier on about how we'd engage. On my platform, it's all official Muyiwa. You would see a new video that we're... Sorry, would you write your... You see the new video on official Muyiwa on all the platforms for Alade Wura, the single, the song I did with Governor B, and then with on the Turning Point, which is a TV, the shows that we did in London recently, those are coming out, and you know, more music really. Lola's, most of what you see online for Lola, which is all her personal training stuff. So, what's your handle? She don't know her handle.
Is it like the website or something?
Do you have like an Instagram, like at that people can like find
Lola,
you?
Lola.Olariwaju,
I think. Instagram.
Amazing. Yeah. Esther.
Oh, so.
That's another Meet the Millennials Wrapped.
Yay! One of my best episodes, I think. I think definitely best episodes. Send us an email. Let us know what you thought of this episode and what are some of the things that you wish you had known before you got married. Tell us about your highs and your lows. And you can follow us at Premier Gospel for updates and tweet us with the hashtag MTM podcast.
Yeah, and don't forget to screenshot and let us know that you're listening to the podcast as well at us, so we know you're listening. Review the podcast, rate us, like us, comment, share, all those good things. We're gonna close out in prayer.
Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all here today to record an amazing episode of Meet the Millennials today. I hope that everybody who is listening can have learned something about marriage that they can employ and use in their own lives. And I pray that you bless the marriages here, Lord, that for 15 years, may they go on. Amen. For 50,000 years.
That's hallelujah.
Oh, Lord. And yes, I pray that you bless the unions that are here and that you'll help me and Elena to find our own marriages
in
one
Jesus
day.
Name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's a wrap.
This is Meet the Millennials.
Hi, guys. You're here with Cassie Loco.
Carl Loco.
Hi, I'm Rini Lee.
Hey, I'm Pastor Nathan from Hope Dealers.
And it's Pastor Kwame here from Hope Dealers as well.
Hi, I'm Iffy Alexis Lee.
Hi, I'm Muyiwa.
And I'm Lola.
And you're listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian millennial.
Because it's honest conversations about things that the body of Christ is perhaps too scared to talk about.
And you young people don't know what you're doing with your life.